You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember the resources that we speak about on the broadcast. You can acquire on the web at equip.org. And, of course, today is June 1st. June is the end of our fiscal year, and we invite people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us as we end our fiscal year. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And when you do, we have a brand new resource available for you. It is titled Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. The book was written by K.P. Yohanan. K.P. has become a very good friend of mine over the last 5-6 months in particular. I was in Dallas with him and Francis Chan not long ago, and we did a roundtable discussion for about 4 or 5 hours, and we're going to be making that available in the near future. It was videoed, and it will be available on the web at equip.org. But KP is the Metropolitan of Believers Eastern Church. This is an amazing church network of over 12,000 churches, encompassing 16 nations and 30 different languages. He's the author of Revolution in World Missions, which has sold over 4 million copies. There are perhaps many, many more millions of that book in print in various places around the world. George Verwer, who is the founder of Operation Mobilization International, dubbed KP the Indian Apostle Paul of this generation. KP also founded Gospel for Asia. It's one of the greatest works of God in our generation. And he has gone through the fire like few have gone through the fire in our generation. And this book, Never Give Up, tells his story of standing in one of the most difficult storms imaginable. And I think as you read this, you're encouraged never to give up yourself. KP says, I have walked through the minefield. The abuse was aimed at me. I was the target, but sadly, I don't believe this is a story exclusive to me and the Ministry of Gospel for Asia. I'm convinced that in the days ahead, many other ministries will face this same onslaught. The journey I've been writing about is not just about us. We're only a guinea pig, a test case, so the enemy sees how far he can go. But it will not always be someone else who is the object of the attack. Persecution, malicious gossip, and the collusion of evil to destroy can even happen to you. When you walk through the forest fire of grief and pain, you will see the invisible one, and he will see you through. Therefore, never give up. This book is particularly poignant and profound to me. And I wrote an endorsement for the back cover of the book. I've read it several times. my endorsement, God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. His passion to change a generation is as inspirational as it is instructive. Again, that's my endorsement on the back of this book, the book available for your support of the ministry. When you read it, you'll get some profound sense of how God can use you, how missions ought to be done, how a mission like Gospel for Asia is working, and I'm working with them, is working to make a big difference in a caste system in India, where there are not only different castes, but there are also outcasts. There's some 250 million to 300 million people that can't even drink water from the wells of people in other castes because they're considered outcasts. They're unclean. They're not even considered to be human. And the Muslims and the Buddhists are proselytizing them. And yet the Christian church is doing precious little, except for what Gospel for Asia is doing in standing in the gap. And as a result of what K.P. Yohannan is doing, he has been under a ferocious attack by the enemy. People in other countries who view the work of missions as a neocolonialism, and as a result of that, have done so much to try to undermine the work of Gospel for Asia. At any rate, when you read this book, it's one of those books that, again, is difficult to put down, and a book that will bless you, inspire you, and motivate you to make a difference while there is yet time. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Rick in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Rick.
Hi, you ever watch Sid Roth?
I have, unfortunately, yes.
Well, I was in Pentecostalism for many years. My wife was too in a foreign country, and we're in a global pandemic, and all these Assembly of God people, Foursquare, United Pentecost, all these charismatic Pentecostal mega churches, not one of them. They all claim to follow Jesus. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Ain't nobody doing it anywhere on the planet. Nobody's doing those. Yet.
Well, let's make a quick qualification for that. In fact, it relates to the book, Never Give Up. K.P. Yohannan believes that the book of Acts is a blueprint for missions around the world today. And in many places of the world where the name of Jesus Christ has never been initiated among people groups, God does do supernatural works. I think it's very rare to find those same supernatural works in Western cultures where we have Moses and the prophets, to use the words of Jesus. If you don't believe them, you're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead. Of course, this is part of the parable, the story he's telling in Luke chapter 16.
Well, the simple gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Pentecostal gospel of Acts 2:38 is not the gospel for today. It was Jewish.
Well, certainly not the way that it is being communicated. I mean, you go back to your original question of Sid Roth, who's the host of It's Supernatural. He has had all kinds of sensationalists and counterfeit revivalists on his platform, from John Arnott to Rodney Howard Brown. And he even had Richard Eby on his broadcast, who proclaimed that Christ would return within his own lifetime, and that if Christ did not return within his own lifetime, Christ would be a liar. Well, Eby died in 2002. So by Eby standards, on Sid Roth's show, Christ would be a liar. The sensationalism, the speculation is simply beyond the pale. And it is a sad day in the Christian world when you have a program like Sid Ross being as popular as it is, and as many people as today drinking the Kool-Aid. So it's part of the sensationalism of the modern church. Instead of really doing missions as missions ought to be done, and following truth wherever it leads, and experience the life that is life to the full, you have these sensationalists communicating counterfeit messages that ultimately undermine the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
God, where are you? This was the question contemplated by K.P. Yohanan, author of the classic book, Revolution in World Missions, as he found himself in a very dark season of despair. His new book, Never Give Up, is the story of how the Lord carried K.P. Yohanan through the most difficult hours of his life and highlights his hope that the story of a broken man can bring glory to Christ and impact a generation. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mary in Houston, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
I had a question on Romans 13:1. What does that mean, Romans 13:1?
Romans 15:1?
Romans 13:1.
Oh, Romans 13:1. What is your question about that?
What does it mean?
Okay, so let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So we recognize that whatever authority that we are under is appointed by God. And if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, we are not to resist governing authorities, but cooperate with governing authorities unless governing authorities seek to tell us to do what God specifically condemns. And as we see in the book of Acts, we are to follow God rather than to follow men. So we are to be subject to the governing authorities, as the governing authorities are subject to God. But if they're not subject to God, and they're asking us to do something that God does not want us to do, then we are to resist the governing authorities, as certainly Peter and John did.
All right.
Yeah, so the bottom line is to defy the civil government is to defy God, for God works in and through governing authorities. And that principle, again, holds true so long as the civil ordinance is not in opposition to God, but promotes good works. When civil rulers are in direct opposition to God, then we must, as Christians, follow God rather than following men. And again, to follow up on that, you may want to take a moment and read Acts chapter 4. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jody in Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
My question is, can some Christians really have the gift of speaking in tongues in this day and age, or is it all gibberish and false?
Well, I would say that a good deal of it is gibberish and false, but I would not have the temerity or the reckless boldness to say that all of it is false. And so here's what I would rather do. I would rather say that, as the Apostle Paul has made crystal clear, believers are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and yet not all who believe speak in tongues. And therefore, my conclusion on the basis of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that tongues may be a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but tongues cannot be the manifestation. Even if someone does speak in tongues, I'd also add that it's not a guarantee that they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul said, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal." So Paul is saying, without love, I'm nothing. Now, there's also the matter of socio-psychological manipulation, the peer pressure, the subtle power of suggestion, all of which can induce ecstatic utterances wholly apart from the Holy Spirit of God. That may be one other point that I should make, is that the normative sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to the Holy Scriptures, is not speaking in tongues, but the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, repentance from sin, obedience to God. You find passages like Romans chapter 8 or 1 John 4 or Ephesians 1 all underscoring that verity. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, said the Apostle Paul. So the fruit of the Spirit is not merely speaking in tongues. My point is that according to the Apostle Paul, love, joy, peace, patience, and a whole list of other attributes, including kindness and goodness and faithfulness, a gentleness, self-control, these are the fruit of the Spirit. So righteousness, not tongues, is the core of Christianity, compressed in a single word, as I believe I put it in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil.
Okay. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Also, I want to answer a question which came in with respect to gender. And this is a hot question, and I thought perhaps I ought to answer it on the broadcast today. The question comes from Alexis, who asks, why is God he? Why not she? Why is God a specific gender in the first place? Why not God be God and attribute no gender to God? And the response to that question by Alexis is that God is neither a he nor is God a she. It has become increasingly popular in Christian circles to apply politically correct sentiments to language for God, but the creator of our humanity does not participate in our gender. He transcends gender. In fact, the Bible not only uses masculine titles for God, Father and Son, it also quite liberally employs feminine issues and images in relating to God. In Isaiah, the Lord says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, a feminine image. Or speaking as a midwife, the Lord rhetorically asks, shall I bring to the time of birth and cause not delivery? Shall I cause to bring forth and close up the womb? Again, a feminine image for God. In Hosea, God judges Israel. And a metaphor is used where Israel is likened to a mother bear robbed of her cubs. So Hosea likens God's judgment of Israel to a mother bear being robbed of cubs. Again, that would be a feminine metaphor or image that's being used. But all these images are what we call anthropomorphisms or personifications. These anthropomorphisms reveal God to us in ways that we can apprehend or we can relate to. We also have to remember that in the incarnation, God in human flesh employed a feminine analogy when he wept over Jerusalem. Remember what he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. While in his humanity, Christ does have gender, he yet transcended gender in virtue of his eternal deity. Remember, he's Theanthropus, the God-man. And so today the problem is you have these pseudo-Christian groups that supplement the Trinitarian language of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with feminine formulations. Those formulations are mother, child, womb. And in doing that, they're making the grave mistake of sacrificing theological clarity concerning the nature of God. And the nature of God is that God is transgenic. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not have our biological identity. So they're sacrificing theological clarity concerning the nature of God and the nature of relationships between the divine persons of the Godhead on the altar of political correctness. The bottom line here, from my perspective, is that the language we use for God should clarify, not confuse. And therefore, we ought to refrain from tampering with traditional titles for God. And I think those who have a strong view of Scripture will do just that. Of course, that's a whole other issue. What is Scripture? What is the Bible? And that seems like a straightforward question, but the more you delve into it, the more you find out that it's a very interesting question that has all kinds of permutations to it. The fathers wrote about it east and west. People have been debating it today. Is the longer canon part of the Bible? Is it not? Many other associated questions. We'll deal with that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Lord willing. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.